You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. I want to talk a little bit this morning about living by faith. In our epistle this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul talks about living by faith. And I think that we have much that we can glean from this passage of Scripture as we, in our daily walk with Jesus, become more and more Christ-like. And become more and more accustomed to living a life of holiness. Listen to what Paul says. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that grace, having spread to more and more people, will cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer person is decaying, yet our inner person is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made by hands, eternal in the heavens. So what's Paul saying to us here at First Methodist as he related it to us through the word in this letter to the church in Corinth? What is Paul trying to get us to glean from this passage of Scripture? Well, in the first two verses, he's saying we're not keeping quiet about this. This is for public consumption. Just like the psalmist wrote, I believed it, so I said it. We're saying what we believe also. And what we believe is that the one who raised up the Master Jesus will just as certainly raise us up alive, both now and in the future, both in this life and in the life to come. Every detail that God has worked out works to your advantage. God's interest is in your highest good. So it's to your advantage and it's to the glory of God, where he piles more and more grace to more and more people and receives more and more praise. It's an interesting thing that God has put into motion through his Holy Spirit. More and more grace poured out from God, more and more people accepting that grace, and God receiving more and more of the praise and the honor and the glory. And so Paul's saying, we're not about to stop this by placing our own agenda, making it more important than what God's already doing in the world. How could we do that? See, even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart out there in the world, on the inside, God is making all things new. And there's not a day that goes by where his grace is not unfolding upon you, being poured out to you. So the hard times that we're experiencing in the world, those are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, that lavish celebration that's being prepared for you and me. Because there's far more going on here than meets the eye. The things that we see now are here today and gone tomorrow, but the things that we can't see yet, those things will last forever. Then Paul gives us an example in chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. He says, "We know that these bodies of ours one day will be taken down and folded up like tents." It's an interesting picture. "They will be replaced," Paul says, "by resurrection bodies in heaven." Bodies that are God-made, not handmade by people, but God-made, and will never have to relocate these tents ever again. It's an interesting picture that Paul's painting for us about how we exist now in the world today and how we will exist at some point in the future when we see Jesus face to face. Both things are going on for God's glory and for our benefit right now. The thing is, you know, if you've been coming to Bible study forever, this is what we have been saying all along. This is what we have been studying and preaching all along. Hardship in the world, especially for the Christian, is part of our everyday experience. It's just the way the fallen and broken world works. And when our circumstances in this life are such that it seems that our universe is imploding, is unraveling, what's really going on is that God is winding things up for our highest good and for His greater glory. It's not the universe unraveling. It's God packaging it all together perfectly. When we look at things through the world's eyes, we often ask these questions. Why is this happening to me? You ever ask yourself that question? When things don't go right, you're like, why me? Why is this happening to me? And the answer is because we live in a fallen and broken world that is every day being redeemed by the power of God working in and through us. As the vessels that carry the good news of redemption, we are part of the solution, not the problem, when we're willing to join in with what God is already doing in the world. We tend to get bogged down in our circumstances, don't we? We tend to focus on the afflictions, the hardships, the trials, the tribulations. We ask, why am I not seeing healing? Why are my prayers going unheard? Ever ask those questions? Why isn't God doing this? Or why isn't God doing that? We tend to focus on the momentary afflictions as if they were the sum total of our existence. We tend to focus on all the wrong things. But see, the truth is, and what Paul's trying to tell us here, is that we are much more than what meets the eye. We were created to be much more, so much more than our troubles, more than our hardships, more than our sin, more than our sickness, certainly more than death that seems to be an inevitable end, when really it's the perfectly put together beginning of our eternity. The hardships we endure are but a blip on the radar screens of our vast eternal experience, and yet we focus on the blip instead of the eternity. The truth is that God hears prayer. The truth is that God heals every believing Christian who prays for wholeness. The truth is that even though we see God dimly through the glass now, one day we will see him clearly in all of his glory, in all of his majesty. The truth is that God, who sees our past, our present, and our future all at the same time, has already healed, already redeemed, already rescued, already transformed, already purified every single believer, because he's already where we are going. It is finished, Jesus said from the cross. And that means that all the trials, all the tribulations, all the stuff that seems to weigh us down in this life has already been addressed, already been transformed, already been redeemed, reconciled, forgiven, cast away. So what we need to do is let go of our timeline of material human existence and grab on to that perfect spiritual life that God has for you right now in this life and the next. God has it for you. Realize that your healing is there for you. Realize that your redemption and forgiveness are there for you. Your transformation is there for you. You already have it. You already own it. It's already been bought and paid for you by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Don't let it lie unused. Don't let it sit on the shelf and get dusty. Claim it. Claim it now. It's been given to you freely. There's no strings attached. There's no payment due. It is absolutely free. Take it. It belongs to you. Jesus has given it to you. It is yours. Now, in this moment. Because as Paul says, this slight momentary affliction that we're experiencing in the world, this human condition that we're in, that is what God is using to prepare us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but what cannot be seen. Because what we see now is temporary, and what we can't see is eternal. This is the mystery of God's plan for you and for me, because he loves you with this unparalleled love. Write this scripture notation down in your notes. 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3. It tells us about this amazing love and how it impacts us now in this human condition and in our eternal life to come. Listen to what the Word of God says in 1 John. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies themselves, even as he is pure. Know Jesus now. Experience him face to face later. If you were to come to the class meeting and hear from one another how God is working in our lives. Hear those testimonies. Hear the power of the Holy Spirit speak through one another. You would get a clearer picture that the God who has a future prepared for us in heaven is also working on your life immediately now. We have a tremendous future ahead of us, but we don't have to wait to experience it. We can experience it today, this moment. You just have to be open to receiving. And I know it's easy to say, it's much harder to practice. And that's why we need to practice. It's a discipline. I encourage you, come to a class meeting. First of all, Tess is doing a wonderful job as the shepherd, is she not?
Yes.
She is. Such an unassuming, godly woman. There's no pretense in her whatsoever. And she has this ability just to allow people to speak, unlike the pastor who has to put his two cents in everywhere. But I have to tell you, just, you know, coming in my shorts and my t-shirt without the collar on and just listening to all of you, bless you tremendously. Be a part of that on Wednesday evenings. It is worth your time to hear how God is moving in your lives. It's not a harken back to days gone by, how you were born and how you were raised and how Jesus came into your life. And all that is great. That's not what this is. This starts out with a simple question. Where have you seen Jesus this week? That kind of narrows it down, doesn't it? And so what we get is we get a fresh glimpse of how you and God are in communion. How he's working in your life in this moment. And that gives us fresh eyes to see, fresh ears to hear the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. And it is powerful. And if you think you aren't experiencing God, if you think you haven't seen Jesus this week, he's not the one who moved. You have to turn and face him. You have to look for him. You have to experience him. You have to open up your heart and your mind to receive the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. I'll get off my soapbox. Did you get the idea that I would like to see you there if it's at all possible in your busy schedules? Because you will be blessed. And the food's pretty good too. That's all I have to say. I hope you receive it in a spirit of love and pastoral authority in which it was presented. We have to live a Christ life here with the expectation that we will be with him later. It's not just a hang around and wait for Jesus. It's a be Jesus to those people out there who need him. That's what we're called to do as the church. I think that's all I have to say, Gene. Is that enough? Thumbs up from Gene. Okay, hymn number 440, Here I Am, Lord, which is totally appropriate. Who's he going to sing? Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.